Amen. Tonight I would like to do something a little different as we celebrate communion. I'm going to do something that I have never done in all of these years in a communion service. And that is, I'm going to give you and read to you more scripture without comment than I ever have. Is that okay? We are a family tonight, amen? Wednesday night is family night. This is God's living room tonight, amen? And we're just a small colony of heaven sitting in His living room, getting ready to experience His table, because the table is His, it's not ours, amen? And so tonight, what I'd like to do with the brief time that we have together, I would like to talk to you with my limited understanding about the power of the blood of Jesus. For there is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So would you allow me to share 450 scriptures with you now? Let me share and listen to them. Later on, they're all on the app. They're already there, and you can look at them when you get home. But let me just start out with the name of Jesus. Is that okay? It says in Matthew 1:21, the angel said, "And ye shall bring forth a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus." Everyone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, is that a beautiful name? And it says, "And he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:25. Now, and it says, "And Joseph did not know Mary till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and Joseph called his name Jesus." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said to Mary, "Oh, Mary, do not be afraid, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign forever and ever over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will never be an end." Luke 2:7, "And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, a feed trough, because there was no room for them in the inn." Luke 2:21, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." John 1:10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." John 1:14, "And the Word," meaning Jesus, our Lord, the eternal God, "and the Word became flesh, dwelled among us. We beheld his glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:16, "And of his fullness we've all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus." Isn't Jesus a beautiful name? John 1:29, "And the next day, John, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Will you let me read one more? Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind," this is a command by the way, "let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant," or literally a slave, "the lowest place, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man." What did Jesus do? He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and giving him the name, not a name, the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," what a beautiful name, "at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And the church says,
amen.
What power in the Word of God, amen? Tonight we come to the Lord's table. It is His table. He's here with us right now. Amen. Angels of God are here with us. We're not alone. If you could see into the supernatural reality and see what is surrounding us, I don't think we could walk out of here for days or months or weeks. Amen. Oh, it would blow us completely away. So tonight we're going to remember our Lord. We're going to participate at His table. See, partaking of communion is koinonia, or fellowship with the unseen Christ. See, He really is here. Where two or more are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of. Amen? So tonight, He's not ashamed. Here we are. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. He's not ashamed to call us sisters. Amen? Man, do you see who we are tonight? And He is here with us as we celebrate His table. This is a holy, holy moment, a holy time for us all to be together. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or the koinonia or the act of fellowship of the blood of Christ? And in the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship or the communion of the body of Christ? Now, turn with me and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul the Apostle, he's writing to us tonight, and he says, "For I received from the Lord," 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." In other words, it was a personal revelation from Jesus Christ to Paul the Apostle. He says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, there in the upper room, Judas, we know, betrayed Him and for 30 pieces of silver and so forth. He's already, if we were there in John 13, for example, that night when He washed the disciples' feet, Judas went out, he took the bread, remember, and went out into the night because the devil had filled his heart. And it says in the Gospel of John, as Jesus and them, they were crossing the Kidron, going up to Gethsemane, the garden, that below you could see the torches and the lanterns, because the temple priest and the Roman soldiers were now coming to arrest Jesus, for He'd been betrayed. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. He broke the bread and He said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In other words, literally you could say it this way. Jesus is saying He knew that He was about to go to the cross. He knew then He was going to the grave. He knew He was going to rise again. And then He was also going to go back home to the Father. Amen? So what He literally is saying there to the disciples and to us, He says, "Don't forget Me when I go away. Do this, what we're doing now, always do in remembrance of Me." Now listen very carefully. In context of the scripture that in Corinthians there, which we're not going to really get into the context of what was going on with the church at Corinth, but you know they were a carnal bunch, right? You know they were babes, right? They lived, even though they were saved, they lived like they were lost. They were suing one another. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were causing division and sowing discord. They were a divided church. So in context right here, when we read that scripture, Paul is actually saying, you know what? He says, the Lord's Supper that you guys are partaking in, it's to you just a ritual. It's just a routine. There's no fellowship. There's no intimacy with the Lord. So to them, it was only a ritual. It wasn't relational. Never celebrate this table as a ritual. Amen? It is not a ritual. Oh, and don't ever forget that is so vital. Now, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. And we're going to begin, chapter 6, John 6, and well, just go to verse 26, I guess, because the Jews, they came to Jesus, remember, And they said, what sign are you going to show us that we might believe? And then in verse 26, Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. And then they said to him, well, then what shall we do to work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Therefore they said to him, well, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? And they said, you know, our fathers, well, they ate the manna in the desert or in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread, or Moses gave them bread from heaven. So here's the deal. You know, if you're more than Moses, do what Moses did, but do it better. Show us a sign so we'll believe. And Jesus said to them, look carefully now. Most assuredly, that word is amen and amen, truly of certainty. You can't change this, in other words. Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So Moses didn't give him the bread. You know, Moses gave you what was temporary, what was perishable, meaning the manna. Now, he says, but my Father, he's talking to the Jews, he's talking to us. My Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to Israel? No, who gives life to the world. Jesus says, I'm the bread. I'm the bread for every person in the world. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never thirst. Never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus is all you need. Jesus just said, the bread is a person, and he is that bread. I am the only bread in existence that can ever impart life or sustain life. Amen? But I said to you that you've seen me, you've seen the true bread of life, in other words, and yet you don't believe. All that the Father gives me, the election of God, his sovereignty, if you will, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And he says, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So you have the sovereignty of God and then the human responsibility. Amen? We'll never be able to understand that totally. But let me ask you a question. Do all people come to Christ? No, they don't. Why? They have a free will. Now listen very carefully. The scripture, the ending scripture that I just read, is absolutely certain. It can never be changed. It cannot ever be revoked. In other words, we have a life that cannot perish. Listen carefully. God never invites a people to come to him and then make it impossible to do so. Now, there's a teaching about that, you know. It's a false teaching, okay? In other words, no, you can't be saved. Well, I want to be saved. No, he didn't choose you. That is a lie. Do you understand? God desires all people to be saved, and to say otherwise is a reproach upon the character of God. No. We have security. Now, look back to 1 Corinthians 11:24, and let's look at the bread now. It says, and when he had given thanks, 1 Corinthians 11:24, when Jesus had given thanks, look what he did. He broke it. He broke the bread. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. What kind of love is this? The cross was only a few hours away. The sin of the world was hours away from being placed upon him. And what did Jesus do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. Whenever tonight, when we partake of the table, when you look back and you remember Jesus and all that he did, remember what he did for you. Amen? Remember what he did. Remember his words. What did Jesus cry from the cross? He says, it is finished. In other words, your debt, your sin debt is paid in full. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates or proves his own love for us, then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid for our sin. He took our place. He not only died for me, he died as me. Does that make sense? Just the same, it goes for you, loved one. In verse 25, and in the same manner, he also took the cup. We're going to do that in a few minutes. He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my what? My blood. This do as often as you drink it. And we can, if you can have communion every day, loved one. You can, Pastor Marshall and I were talking earlier, we celebrate communion at home. Well, you know, I was talking about my brother who's now in heaven. Anytime he came to the house, we would usually just he and me, we would get together. Sometimes Becky and all of us, but usually just me and him alone someplace. We'd celebrate, we'd break bread together. There's something special about those moments. Do you know that you can do that? Amen? Amen. Amen. And so he says, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, the blood. Andrew Murray said something. He said this, the blood is one of the strangest, deepest, mightiest, and most heavenly of the thoughts of God. And I agree with that. Listen to me. The blood. Did you know you can ask a scientist what blood is and he can't tell you? Do you understand that? He can say, well, now it's going to circulate through your body, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, it's got plasma, you know. Okay, but what is the blood? I don't know. Do you understand the significance there? The mystery of the blood? It's deeper than I can imagine. In both the Old Covenant, New Covenant, it deals with the blood. Amen? Now listen, there's a huge difference between the blood of bull and goats and the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen? Now, I wrote what I'm about to write. I wrote down earlier. I want to read to you because this was my prayer. And I said, let us ask God, oh God, to fully reveal tonight the worth of the blood of Jesus to us. But not just the worth of the blood of Jesus, but also the power of the blood in the new covenant. And I can only tell you about the power of the blood and the worth of the blood, what God says about it in his word. Amen? It's deeper than we understand. That's why this is a holy moment. Jesus' blood was not like any other blood. You know that, don't you? See, a lot of people, oh, don't talk about stuff like that. No. The Bible talks about it. What kind of blood is it? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased, you were not bought with a corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct or your empty life before you came to Christ, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood, he says, man, it is precious. You know, Leviticus in the Old Testament, it says in Leviticus 17, 11, it says, for the life of the flesh, this flesh that we have, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Isn't that amazing? I mean, and it says, and I have given it to you, God says, upon the altar to make an atonement or a covering for your souls. For it is, here it comes, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17, 14. For it, the blood, for it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. The blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me now. Without the blood in your body, okay, is there going to be life? No. There's no, I mean, you take the blood away from us, there is absolutely no life. Animal, human, doesn't matter. It is gone. The blood is not only sacred, the blood is essential. And blood is identified with the scripture I just read as life. Life. Can you live without one eye, one hand, one foot, one lung? Of course. Think about that. But you can't live without the blood. You understand? Your body can be perfect. I mean, just as, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger look, you know? I mean, perfect. But without the blood, there is no life. Now listen very carefully. Our spiritual life and our physical life is totally dependent upon the blood. Do you hear me? Listen, the power of the blood of Christ. Can I give you just a few examples, a few scriptures, what that power is? Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified, you know that word, declared righteous in the eyes of Almighty God, where your sin has transferred to Jesus Christ and His righteousness has been transferred to you. And when God sees you, He sees you in Christ. He sees your position as perfect. Amen? Let me read it again. Much more, having been justified, but then how are we justified? By His blood. You talk about the power of His blood. It says that you are justified by His blood, and then it goes on to say, and you shall be saved from the wrath that's coming. In other words, we're not going to go through the great tribulation period, the church, and experience the wrath of God. Now, there's some kind of power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? When I was a young believer, I was a Pentecostal church. I grew up, that's when I started growing up, was in that. And back then, some of you that as old as I am, you'll remember, we pleaded the blood. You know, we pleaded the blood. And, you know, and now I'm not saying that's a scriptural thing to do, by the way. But we would plead the blood when we would pray for people to be healed. And, you know, I mean, people got healed. Now, I'm not saying I understand all of that. And even in our innocence and not understanding, you know, God can still heal. Do you understand that? Absolutely. And so, there's just a depth there we don't understand. Let me give you another, the power of the blood. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption. We have been bought. We were slaves of sin, slaves of the devil, and we were on the auction block and Jesus purchased us. Amen? We have been redeemed. Here it comes. How? Through the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You're talking about power. The blood, His blood justifies us. His blood redeems us. How about this one? Colossians 1:20. It says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether on earth and heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Having made peace with whom? In other words, Jesus Himself, He is our peace. Amen? Romans 5:1, now that we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That is a divine fact. It's not a feeling, loved one. Did you know that? We have peace all because of Jesus. You talk about the power of the blood. Do you think about that? How about this one in Hebrews 10:9, talking about the power of the blood. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, meaning the holy of holies, right into heaven. You know, when you go and pray, you're not praying here, you're praying there. You know that, don't you? We go to heaven. That's where we're seated with Christ. He says, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies. How? There's only one way, by the blood. You talk about power. That is the only blood in the universe that you can have access to the throne room of God freely. Is that power? Try to go see Biden if you want to. No. How about this one? Well, no, let me back up. Justification, redemption, peace with God, boldness to enter by the blood. Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify, set apart, declare holy forever, sanctify the people with His own blood. How powerful is that? The blood of Christ Jesus set you apart, meaning to set you apart for the purpose of God, for the plans of God, to be forever with God. How incredible is the power of the blood of Jesus? How about this one? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, talking about our relationship with God the Father, not just here. And it says, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, you walk in the world, you get spotted in the world, can't you? You know, you can, but the blood of Christ, when you walk in that light as he's in the light, there's no darkness in God the Father. He says, oh, do that, because when you do, we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus constantly, consistently is cleansing us from all kinds of sin. How about Revelation 1:5? Are you getting tired of me reading Scripture? Good. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. And that's what he's doing right now. They don't know it, but he's still the king. Amen? Amen. To him who loved us. Oh, how he loves us. To him who washed us from our sins. How? In his own blood. You talk about power. Every sin. Think about when Jesus died on the cross and bore the sin of the world. Every sin from all the way back to Adam till the very end. Do you understand that? He bore the sin debt of all of mankind. He paid the sin debt for every person. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, your sin debt's paid. You're going to now pay for it in hell. Do you understand? Boy, that's Bill, that was tough. No, that's a word of God. And I say, oh, Lord. No, listen. Jesus with his own blood. Revelation 5:9, you better learn this song. We're going to be singing it in heaven. And they sang a new song saying, oh, you are worthy to take the scroll, talking about Jesus. You're worthy to open the seals, for you were slain. You died on the cross, in other words, and have redeemed us. You purchased us to God. How? By your blood. By your blood. How many people? Out of every tribe, out of every tongue, all people in every nation. How about this one? Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through, listen carefully, through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let me read it one more time. I want you to really listen now. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it says, offered himself without spot to God. Now listen, it was through the eternal Spirit that Jesus offered himself the sacrifice which his blood was shed. Now listen very carefully. The blood that he shed, when Jesus shed his blood, the blood had the life of Christ in it. Do you understand that? Not only that, the eternal Spirit had it in it as well. Why? Because that is the blood of the eternal covenant that God made, God the Father made with Jesus the Son. Do you understand? Eternal. It happened in eternity. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, here it comes, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, or the blood of the eternal covenant. Now listen, the eternal covenant, this was between, again, Jesus and God. We're just the beneficiaries of that. Do you understand? It wasn't between, it was for us. I mean, it was for us, but it wasn't, we weren't in the mix. Now, the reason I say that, this covenant was made between the God of peace and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death. Now listen, that was God's plan way back in eternity, before the world was ever made, before Adam ever set foot on this planet. Do you understand? This happened, this was God's plan all the way back in eternity. And you say, well, Bill, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me prove it to you from Scripture. It says in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, meaning the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before time. Are you with me? How about one more? 1 Peter 1:20. Yes, Jesus indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before it ever happened. There was a meeting between God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. They worked it all out. They knew what man was going to do. Do you ask me to explain that? I cannot. Now, we know that we learned Sunday in Hebrews 7:22 that Jesus, it says so much more, Jesus has become a surety, a guarantee, if you will, of a better covenant. Why? Because God swore an oath, remember? He swore an oath, and boy, God said, I'll never change it. That's just, it's eternal. So Jesus is the guarantee of the better covenant. We're about to celebrate the cup of the new covenant, the blood, amen? And he says, oh, it's better and made by God, which means it can never be annulled. It can never be abolished because God swore an oath. Think of the value that God places upon, the worth that God places upon the blood of Jesus. Listen, Jesus is our guarantee, as I told you Sunday. God swore an oath. Our sin debt, because of Christ, is now paid in full. Amen? Boy, I mean, I don't know how that makes you feel, but I can sleep at night, amen? Because I wasn't a very good boy, you know? No, I say, dear Lord. Now listen, Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of bull and goats. That was real blood, by the way. But with his own blood, Jesus' own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Do you know how many thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of animal sacrifices have occurred in Judaism? I mean, just go back when Solomon dedicated the temple. Oh my gosh. I mean, thousands and thousands of animals, their blood was shed. I mean, over and over for 1,500 years. But now it's narrowed down to the cup that you're going to hold in your hand in one moment. Jesus is the final sacrifice for all sin, for all time, once and for all, and sufficient for all. Amen? Man, I say, thank you that my sin debt is paid. Remember what the scripture teaches. It says in Psalm 103:10 that God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is mercy toward us, those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Boy, we have perfect and complete forgiveness from God. Perfect and complete forgiveness from God. How far is the east is from the west? You can't do it, can you? No, you can't calculate it. No, the Bible is so rich. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11:26 now. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, look what we do, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back and see all that God did. Now we look ahead. And tonight, you know, the Lord's Supper, You know, the thing about it is, it's just not weekly, it's just not monthly, you know, whatnot. It's not a ritual to be observed. It is deep fellowship with Jesus, for he is here with us. Amen? See, are we the family of God? Yes. Yes. Are we partakers of his divine nature? Yes. Are we members one of another? Yes. Are we the body of Christ? Yes, we are. So when we partake in a few minutes, when we do, loved one, listen, when we partake, we proclaim that this table that we celebrate the Lord's table on, his table, we proclaim that it is temporary. Let me read it. It says here that we partake of this, it says, until he comes. Do you know that Jesus is coming? Do you know that he might come tonight? I know he might really come tonight. Are you expecting that? I mean, one day, there's going to be a generation in a twinkling of an eye they're going to be changed. No, they'll not have a funeral, okay? They're going to be gone, and I hope that we're that generation, amen? And when we see him, the Bible says we are going to be like him. So we proclaim, we preach, every time the symbolism there is, we're declaring to the world, hey, the table is temporary. You better get in while you can, because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back quickly, the Bible says. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. In other words, without proper reverence. Now that means it can be done. You can partake and it's not going to be good. We want to do it the right way. So it says, whoever drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of literally profaning or sinning against, it says, the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, what in the world is this about? It means, number one, that no believer should ever treat this as a ritual. Does that make sense? This is a holy time. This is a time where our focus is on the one who died for us and the one who saved us. And everything that we do tonight, we're doing in remembrance of him. Amen? That's what Scripture teaches. So partaking in a nonchalant manner is sinning against the Lord. And I'm certain that Bible apps and texting, I mean, that's probably... No, I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. Now, let me give you... So this verse doesn't scare you to death, okay? Later on tonight, go back and start reading in chapter 11, verse 21, and you'll realize that the reason he was saying this is because they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were not sharing their food. They were a bunch of cliques. Do you follow what I'm getting at? And he says, man, you guys, you'd be better off not even celebrating the table for what you're doing. So with all that being said, the next step before we partake tonight is self-examination. Look at the next verse, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. So listen, before I ever come up here, I'm telling you what, I'm checking out Bill. Does that make sense? I don't want any ought. I don't want to be mad at anybody. I don't want to have any grudges, and I don't have any grudges. You know, man, listen. I'm even happy with people in 820. You know what I mean? You know, and so I want to check out my heart. Do I have awe? Do you have awe to get somebody? Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Well, look what they've done to me. Well, turn them over to the Lord and let him handle your problem. He can handle it better than you can, believe me. And he knows exactly what to do. He knows the motives behind everything that happens. He knows all the facts. Does that make sense? So do those things. If you need to restore a relationship, then do what Jesus said to do in Matthew 18:15 and following. Go to your brother. Don't lose your brother, your sister. Win them back. You know, go. Humble yourself. Get that out of you. Don't hide your sin. Never hide your sin from God. He already knows. He knows everything. He knows when you lie down. He knows when you get up. He knows every step that you take. He knows the very hair upon your head. They're all counted. He knows everything. You can't hide anything from God. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy. Now, I have more than I want to say, but what I want us to do, can you think if I ask the ushers to start passing out the elements that you'll keep listing? Yes. Okay, so we're going to keep listing. Amen? Okay, ushers, y'all do that while I keep going. Verse 29, listen carefully. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, meaning without self-examination, just, all right, it's a ritual. No, he who eats in an unworthy manner, meaning without self-examination, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now, we know that cannot be eternal judgment because Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? John 5:24, Jesus said, we will not come into the judgment, all right? So we're talking about not God's eternal judgment, but we're talking about God's corrective judgment, all right? He says, so he who drinks to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord, He says, for this reason, meaning careless participation in what we're about to do, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you and many asleep. For if we would just judge ourselves, like self-examination, we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, listen to what God says, then we're chastened by the Lord, and we know that God disciplines those that he loves. Amen? He doesn't condemn those he loves. He disciplines that we may be not condemned with the world. Now listen, remember what I said about the power of the blood. I believe if we don't really look at the power of the blood, how can we be discerning the Lord's body the right way? Amen? Listen, the blood has cleansed our sin, man. I mean, it is gone. Amen? Yes, I mean, and we look at all that and we say, oh, Lord, John, what did Jesus say in John 8:36? That whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are a free people. We are the freest people on this planet. And that's what the bread and that's what the blood, what it means, loved one, death, sin, hell, they're all defeated. Let me give you another scripture. It says in Revelation, 12:11, talking about in the tribulation period. And they, meaning the tribulation saints, those who come to Christ during the tribulation period, they overcame him, meaning Satan, the accuser of the brethren. How did they do it? You ready for this? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to death, meaning they did not count their lives precious. No matter how much suffering they were going through in the tribulation period, they would never deny Jesus Christ as their Lord. Amen? Now, but listen. They didn't overcome Satan in their own power. They did it. It was the blood of the Lamb. The accusations of Satan, what did the blood do? It nullified. It stopped them. There's something about the power of the blood I don't understand. Even after all these years, I even said that to you, Marshall, didn't I? Before I said, it's a mystery. It's so deep. And that's why I prayed, Lord, reveal that to us tonight in a deeper way. Because we're just babes in this area. We don't understand. You know, Satan says, oh, look, I know what you, he's the accuser. Look at you. Look at your heart. Oh, it's filthy. And you say, no, you're a liar. You're the father of lies. I have a brand new heart. Matter of fact, I have the lowly heart of Christ. Amen. So we can again him. You can say, oh, Satan goes, you are trashy minded. And you can say, no, I'm not trashy minded. I used to be trashy minded. But now I have the mind of Christ. Do you see what I mean? The accuser of the brethren, boy, he comes to you and he tries to just ruin you and so forth. You look what you did in the past. Look at your marriage. It failed or this or that. You know what? Shut up. I don't listen to you. You don't have my ear. I don't follow the voice of a stranger. I follow the voice of the good shepherd who saved me and died for me. Amen? That's what we do. Now, what does God tell us to do when we're being accused? God says, I want you to look at the blood, man. What does it say in Romans 8:33? God says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who will do that? Who in the world has enough audacity to charge any of God's chosen ones? It says, it's God who justifies. It's God who justifies, loved one. It's God who says they're not guilty and they will never be guilty because they are in my Son, who is the spotless, sinless, my Son, the Son of God. Amen? That's who we're in right now. Listen, did you know that forgiveness of sin doesn't depend upon you? It depends upon the blood. The blood cleanses us from sin. All we have to do is by faith believe that that happens. Amen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, loved one. So what does God say to you, the church, as we fellowship with Jesus at his table tonight? He says, I want you to see yourself as I see you. When I see the blood, I don't see your sin. It's no different than when the children of Israel, what did they do? They took the blood, they put it on the lintel of their door, put the top and the sides. Remember, what does that form? A cross. This way and there, and the drips down. Forms a cross. When God said, when I see the blood, well, are we covered in blood? Yes, we are. Purchased redeemed, sanctified, cleansed, constantly cleansed. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You'll not die. Do you see the power tonight in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb? Don't allow the deceiver, as we are getting ready to partake tonight, don't allow him to discourage you. No, don't let him do that at all. Listen, God sees us. God sees us. There we go. God sees us tonight. Perfect in his Son. Listen, one of the greatest things we can know tonight is the great doctrine of justification. When I first learned that great doctrine, loved one, it changed my life. Because in my early walk with the Lord, I tried to prove I loved him. I tried to earn his love. I tried to be gooder and gooder, you know what I mean? And I got worse and worse because I couldn't do it. And I said, Lord, I want to be right. And he said, you are right. But how am I right? You're right because you're in my Son. That's our position. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, you know, I've already told you, justification is not a feeling. Justification is a divine fact. It's not something that happens in us. It's something that happens to us. Does that make sense? God declares us, Lord, save me. Jesus, be my Lord. God says, I will. I will save you, and I will save you for all eternity. And the moment that we do that and we, in our hearts, we believe that, you know what God does? He justifies you. He declares the believing sinner as though he had never sinned, ever, ever. And then Christ's spotless record is transferred into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you now, your position, he sees you perfect in Christ. He sees you as keeping the law that we could never keep because Jesus kept the law. He's the end of the law. He did it all for us. Oh, listen, know who you are in Christ. Yeah, I know we're frail. I know that we get in trouble. But I'm telling you that God picks us up. He cleanses us. Amen? So tonight, as a family, oh, Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, we give you praise and glory to your name. You saved us from our sins. And now you bought us, you purchased us, you sanctified us, you redeemed us. Oh, we belong to you and you belong to me. Oh, Jesus, you are the bread. And what we do now, we do in remembrance of you. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. This is the cup of a new covenant, he said, in my blood. The power of the blood. Do you remember years ago, I probably remember how we used to sing, there's power, power. Remember that? Oh, there is wonder-working power in the blood. The power of the blood of Christ. He ratified the new covenant, the new testament, in his own blood. It is sure. It is certain. It can never be abolished. And we belong to him. Heaven is our home. Praise the Lord. All of our sin debt has been paid, all because of this. This is the final sacrifice. This is the final cup. There are no other sacrifices. He paid it all. Amen. So, Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, as a family of God, in the presence of our Lord, who died for us and who loves us and who will never leave us, we partake of this cup, and we do so in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad you came tonight? Why don't we stand to our feet, shall we? You remember that song? I don't think I'm going to sing it right, but it doesn't really matter. But just maybe you'll remember that song. It goes, Jesus, 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 oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you in Jesus' name again for tonight. And Lord, there is something about that name. We love you, we praise you, and we honor you tonight in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. I love you dearly. If you need prayer, you know we're going to be here to pray with you. What a great night. Amen. Amen. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. It's always a good time to worship the Lord. Amen. So the Lord bless you. Be safe on the way home. Have a great week. And again, if you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you. God bless you guys.